Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Benjamin, the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com.
And as always, my name is Ben Bolin. I write some videos and hang out here with Scott on high-speed stuff.
That you do.
That I do.
And when we're not hanging out, we're usually out on the road.
Yep.
Kind of tooling around, doing our own thing usually. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, I'm kind of a sucker for some of these, what we're going to talk about today.
Is this a listener suggestion?
It is. Well, we'll get to it. But okay. I am a sucker for some of these, and I'm just curious about some of this stuff when I pass it. Billboards, signs, mm-hmm. Lead you 20 miles this way to the biggest ball of twine in the world.
Sea Rock City, for instance.
Exactly. The Lost Sea, things like that. What the heck is that? I need to find out. So these roadside attractions, that's what we're talking about.
Roadside attractions.
And it was a listener suggestion. Mm-hmm. And that comes from Chris, who lives in Audubon, Pennsylvania, who wrote in and said he just wanted to see a podcast really about roadside car-related attractions, such as, need a couple of examples, the Cadillac Ranch, which he included a photo of, which is really 10 Cadillacs buried nose down. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
And also Carhenge, which is in Nebraska. And he also wanted to know about classic roads like Route 66, things that would be along that route. And there's plenty along that mm-hmm. way.
That's a story for another day, exactly. Route 66.
That's its own podcast.
That's its own podcast.
We'll get to that. And as far as car-related attractions, Chris, I think we've got a couple of them here. All of these are roadside attractions that we're just going to list off. We've got a million of these. There are a million of these. We've got a few that we're going to mention. But everybody's got their own favorites, some that they would rather pass by and others that they have to stop at.
Sure.
Some people just completely ignore them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get suckered into too many, but I feel like I need to stop. But I know that I have time constraints. I'm traveling or something and I can't do it. But I think if I had an unlimited week-long trip, mm-hmm. And I just going wherever it, wherever the road took me, I think I would end up stopping at nearly every one.
Now, I think if it's okay with you, Scott, I'd like to advance a bit of a clarification with our definition of roadside attractions.
Oh, okay.
Oftentimes when people talk about road trips, they talk about tourist traps, mm-hmm. which seems to be a less, complimentary way of saying roadside attraction. But to me, there is a difference. A roadside attraction tends to be unusual and bizarre, and in its own way, one of a kind, whereas a tourist trap might just be a place that sells overpriced merchandise,
Okay. I've got a separate definition of that, I guess, that if what I've always thought of as a tourist trap is an area that would tend to keep you there for a long period of time because it has many shops. Many shops selling oftentimes the same thing, mm-hmm. souvenirs that, all look the same from shop to shop, but you have to go in every one to see what they have because they have something a little bit different. What we're talking about today is maybe the world's largest something.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the world's largest pecan. Maybe it's the world's largest peach, alligator, whatever. Mm-hmm. And something that maybe draws you in from the road itself, something that you can see on the way, or it could be just a clever marketing scheme that gets mm-hmm. you in the door. But whatever it is, it's meant to draw you to their location to sell you something or to get you near something where they can somehow profit from that.
I couldn't
almost
agree
always.
More.
Almost
I
always. Yeah.
Could not agree more. I just tried to agree more and I couldn't because that's how much I agree. We all know that road trips, no matter how much you love them, even if you love them as much as us, you'll end up at some point having the tedium start to overcome you. You get mm-hmm. a little bored, and then all of a sudden there pops up on the horizon a sign. And as you get closer, that sign probably says something like, what do you got, Scott?
Oh, well, they're all regional.
Yeah.
So you may be in Florida, and you may see that, I'm going to be able to see a 25-foot alligator as soon as I cross the Florida border.
I would pull over for
and
that.
And the signs will start 100 miles deep into Georgia
right.
and say,
yeah.
see the world's largest alligator.
Exit, blah, blah, blah.
And then it gets more and more intriguing. And mm-hmm. you see photos of, past visitors with the alligator in the 1970s, and they're mm-hmm. they're posing next to the alligator's open mouth or whatever. Just things that try to draw you in from long, I guess if you're on the road for a long, long time, mm-hmm. it will lead you up to the point where you're like, well, I've seen this thing for the last hour and a half. I need to find out what that is. It plants that thought in your head that I need to solve this mystery.
So here's what we're doing, Chris. We're going to see you car-related roadside attractions, and we're going to raise you a couple other ones.
But we are going to mention the two that the two that he started with.
Mm-hmm.
And that was
the Cadillac Ranch.
Cadillac Ranch. We'll start out with Cadillac Ranch. How about that? That is in Amarillo, Texas. And the Cadillac Ranch is right along where Route 66 was, the historic Route 66.
Mm-hmm.
It was built in 1974 by Stanley Marsh, the third, who was a helium millionaire, which I had no idea before this.
A helium millionaire
who owned this great big dusty wheat field. And that's where this thing comes from. It's a collective art project, I guess, between Marsh and a group called the Ant Farm. Which is the San Francisco Art Collective. And they took 10 Cadillacs and buried them nose first, all facing west. And it's meant to symbolize the golden age of the automobile. And it has Cadillacs from 1949 through 1963. So these are the big, old Cadillacs. Right now, there's a ton of graffiti on them. And I guess there's some kind of strangeness about this. In 1997, now it was built in, 74? I believe they said 74.
Yeah.
In 1997, there was this development that was going on in that area, and they needed to move Cadillac Ranch. It's going to be torn down. And Marsh said, no, I can't do that. We're going to move it. So they moved Cadillac Ranch 2 miles.
Only 2 miles?
Yeah, this whole thing has been moved 2 miles out into this field. So it's kind of a long haul to get to it now. But
that's wild.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. And the cool thing is that it's kind of spurned these other automobile sculptors to come in and do their own thing nearby.
Yeah.
So there's one looked like a salmon, I believe. Another one looks I got a list of them here. I'm gonna pass on this for now because I think there's one later. Maybe I'm getting these mixed up, but we'll get to it in a moment. In 2005, all these Cadillacs were painted bright pink for breast cancer awareness. But everybody's encouraged to leave graffiti on these cars, so by now it's probably covered up, of course, because it's 5 years ago.
So people are actually encouraged to leave graffiti.
Yep, that's exactly right. And this guy, Stanley Marsh, he's a little bit eccentric. He's 60-something now. I don't know how old he is now. Maybe in his early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
He really gets upset if people steal his signs, I guess. There are signs that lead to Cadillac Ranch or that are at Cadillac Ranch. And if you get caught stealing one of his signs, I guess he can be downright mean.
For shame. Exactly. Well, you shouldn't steal anything.
Well, exactly, but it's a little kind of crazy. So
I guess people are really just thinking about how neat it would be to have that sign.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really like the idea that much, you should drive by it and check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can write on it. What more do you want?
You know what? I did kind of do a mix-up here that the other sculptors are along with the next one that we're going to talk about, which is Carhenge.
Carhenge,
which is in Alliance, Nebraska.
And love the name, by the way.
Carhenge, by the way, is just a motor vehicle replica of
Stonehenge.
Exactly. Stonehenge, which is in Wiltshire, which is in the southwest part of England. And I guess the thought is that was built around 2500 BC, but that's Stonehenge, of course.
Okay.
Carhenge, built in 1987 as a result of a family reunion.
Wow. These people are partying a lot more than my family.
I guess so. Yeah, it was meant to be a memorial to Jim Reinders.
Okay.
Reinders. Almost looks like reindeers. I want to say reindeers when I say it, but it's Reinders. It was kind of a memoriam to his dad. And it's all painted just slate gray, just like Stonehenge would be. Or not painted, but that's the color of the stones. And odd-looking sculpture. I mean, it's really, really strange, but it's an exact replica of it.
I would totally pull over to see that.
And, again, there's these other contributing artists who in the area have built things out of vehicles, and that was where I made a mistake earlier. But there's one that looks like a salmon, I believe, nearby there. There's one called the Ford Seasons instead of the Four Seasons, which is a tribute to wheat. Yeah, exactly. And then something called the Conestoga Wagon, which is like the old wagons that they used to cross.
The Pioneer Wagon.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a car that looks like an old Pioneer Wagon.
You know what? I think it might be my childhood love of Oregon Trail, that game. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I think that's what's making me love the idea of a car that looks like a wagon.
I'd kind of like to see these just to say that I've been there, I think.
Yeah, because I've actually heard of Car Henge before, and you see photographs mm-hmm. of it. I haven't been there yet, mm-hmm. but I would like to see it. The story about the family making it as a memorial honestly really makes me treat it with a lot more reverence, mm-hmm. because at first I just thought, wow, there's some guy who has so many cars and is just crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I guess the community originally thought it was just a pile of junk, mm-hmm. wanted to get rid of it. But now there's signs that say, you know, this way to Car Henge.
And that's awesome.
They've accepted it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool. It's bringing people into the city, and it's making mm-hmm. it somewhat famous for this. And I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure there's other things in Alliance. Did I say Alliance, Nebraska?
Yeah, Nebraska.
Yeah, it's just one of the sites that you have to see when you're there, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. And these two, these have been around for a long time. I've heard of both of these for yeah. quite a while. And you've probably seen Cadillac Ranch.
Cadillac Ranch is pictures. Iconic. It's in films.
Exactly.
It's in movies. There's stories.
A lot of photographs are taken there. A lot of artsy photographs are taken there. Those are some that are relatively permanent. Relatively.
Yes.
I mean, they could, anytime they could be, you know, removed. But a lot of these attractions that we're talking about today, there's something we should point out is that some of these may or may not still be here.
That's true.
Because we're going by lists of people, you know, these are some of the famous ones from across the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Some, they can either be burned down, torn down. They could be just left alone and abandoned.
Yeah.
Anything could happen to these. So just remember that as we go along that, you know, some may or may not exist. So do your research before you go or decide to set out to see the world's largest ball of twine.
I like that, Mr. B. That's due diligence there because, you guys, what Scott is saying is absolutely true. A lot of times the things that people enjoy as roadside attractions can be pretty obscure or even, in some cases, mysterious.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get to one of those. I have one.
Oh, cool.
It's kind of cool. But
may require maintenance that's too expensive for the upkeep.
Boom.
And,
you're reading my mind.
Sorry.
No, it's perfect.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, for instance, here's a weird one that's kind of explicable, meaning we can easily explain it, from a book that Scott and I have called Weird U.S. It's a travel guide to local legends and obscure secrets. And, of course, it has a great section here on roadside attractions. Scott, there's this thing that's in Amarillo, Texas, called the Ozymandias legs. And
really?
Yeah, they're two giant concrete legs standing in a field off Interstate 27.
You
and
know
it's actually just south of.
Maybe you have this bit of information already, but did you know who built those?
Lay it on me.
I believe it's also part of Stanley Marsh's collection.
Is it?
I believe so. Yeah, I think there's a connection there. I'm going to have to dig into that. But I thought I remembered something about these legs because it's in Amarillo, which is the home of the Cadillac Ranch.
Yep, you're absolutely right.
Just recall, I had never seen a picture of them though until now, so it's worth looking at.
It's because do we know him well enough to call him Stanley? I'll call him Mr. Marsh. It's because Mr. Marsh read the Shelley poem Ozymandias, and then there's that part where it says two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. And so apparently he went, huh, you know what? I am going to do that.
Hmm.
And he built them. And one is 34 feet tall and the other one's 24 feet tall.
Oh.
Isn't that weird?
So that's what he does with his crazy helium money.
I know. And I love Helium Millionaire. That sounds like a band name, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's
the new
cool.
album
yeah,
by
that's
U2,
cool.
Helium Millionaire.
That's cool.
And then there's this other one. I got to tell you this one. I love this. I know, Chris, I know that you wanted car things, but I think you'll enjoy this one as much as I do, as much as Scott is about to. Scott, what do you think the Integraton is?
Integraton?
Integraton.
Acura
believe.
Integra?
What's
this thing? No, I have no idea.
Well, let's decide that you want to enlighten and enrich mankind. Oh, and by the way, you're from another galaxy or world, or you think you are.
Okay, news to me. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, well then, of course, obviously, Scott, you build a 38-foot-high, 50-foot-diameter structure and call it the Integraton.
Integraton.
Yes. Suppose it might be a real-life, let's make sure I get this right, a real-life time machine built on a magnetic vortex. It's on Belfield Road outside of Landers, California. And a lot of people say it's a wonder of the world, and other people just think it's kind of interesting. But apparently, the guy who made it, George Van Tassel, has a lot of background calculation going into it. And if you see here, it's almost like a dome.
Ah, it looks like
it looks like an observatory.
Yeah,
almost.
An observatory. Just...
And there in the middle, there's this chair that you can sit into. And you can sort of his mission was to change the course of history with the Integraton.
Hmm.
And so you sit in it, and it kind of rejuvenates you, apparently.
And this is in Fairfield, California? Is that what
this is in Landers, California.
Landers, California. Okay.
Yeah.
Landers, California. Interesting. A time machine.
Yeah.
Hey, let me hit you with one here.
Hit me one. Hit me with one.
World's largest muskie.
World's largest muskie.
Muskie. Fish. Muskie.
I don't know what a muskie is.
Oh, okay. Well, you're looking at me with a puzzled face there. It's this thing is 4.5 stories tall.
Tall.
That's the height.
Wow.
Yeah, it's 140 feet long, 10 feet wide. It weighs 500 tons and looks like a big muskie. It's it's part of the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, which is in Hayward, Wisconsin. And if that's not good enough for you, then there's also the world's largest hockey stick and puck, which is in British Columbia. And it was it's 205 feet long. With 61,000 pounds, it's over a community center right now. It's part of their building facade.
Oh, that's
now.
Crazy!
And then there's also the world's largest pineapple. Where would you think that would be? Just take a guess.
I'll just be wrong and say Hawaii.
Nope. Australia.
Australia?
Yeah, I have no idea what it's doing in Australia, but there's got to be some purpose there. I don't have any of the details on that one. World's largest pineapple is in Queensland, Australia.
Okay. What? That's so crazy. I mean,
know.
We can't drive there. We'd have to fly there.
No, I mean, like, okay, the next one makes sense. World's largest buffalo. Which
buffalo,
is,
New York?
Nope. This one makes sense. It's in North Dakota.
Oh, the
buffalo.
State.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Jamestown, North Dakota. It's 26 feet tall, 46 feet long, weighs 60 tons, and the cost was $11,000 when it was built in 1960. So it's been around for a long time.
I'm going, you know, I'm starting to lose perspective, Scott, because... When you said that, I thought $11,000, huh? That's pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
Maybe I should. Until I realized I don't have a use.
Yeah, you would build the world's largest buffalo right here in Atlanta.
No, man, over at my house.
Fantastic. Yeah, there's all kinds of that. I mean, the world's largest. Oh, here's one that's gone. This What's is a good that? Example. This is one that people used to go to see, is no longer there anymore. The world's largest six pack, and I'm not talking abs.
Right. What happened to
that's
it?
That's what I was thinking when I saw it. Never mind. La Crosse, Wisconsin. It was in La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Did someone drink it?
No one drank it. I think it's just been painted over, really. So it's, the structure's still there. It's no longer six-pack-like.
Now it's the world's largest building that is six cylinders?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So it's gone.
I got one for you.
Oh, go ahead.
The world's largest globe, Scott.
Globe?
It's located off Route 1 in Yarmouth, Maine, and it's called Eartha.
And, Eartha? Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah, no. It's behind a wall of glass over three stories high, and it's inside a, let's see, it's been there since about 1998, and I'm looking for some more stats on it. You know what, that's probably all I have on it, but
right.
It is the world's largest globe.
Yeah, cool. I've got one that's the world's largest tire.
I'm loving this largest stuff, man.
I think it's the world's largest. Actually, it just says a large tire, and I've seen this one in person.
It just says a large tire.
You know, it's the big Uniroyal tire, which is on the side of I-94 in Detroit. It's right near the airport.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Ferris wheel at one point in its life.
Whoa.
In 1964, I believe. I think that's when it was. But it had when they put it on display on the side of the road, it had a nail stuck into it because they had these run flat tires that had this nail technology. And so they put this nail in it, which was 11 feet, this nail. And then eventually they took the nail out and they auctioned that off to some local businessman there in Detroit.
And this goes back into what you're talking about with brilliant marketing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is something that it's a landmark that everybody sees when they enter and leave Detroit via the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've passed by it a million times, but it no longer resembles a Ferris wheel.
Holy Honda, it's, Scott. That thing is huge. I just saw a picture of it.
It is big, and that's a Ferris wheel. Yeah. And, of course, you know, everybody thought it was great and a lot of fun. But, again, it was auctioned. That part of it was auctioned off, and the wheel still stands there. The tire still stands mm-hmm. there. I don't know if it's the world's largest at anything. But at
Gee, any what would you do with a and nail that large?
This is really crazy. When they were going to modernize it recently, they found out that there were people living inside it. Some homeless people were living inside the tire.
There were tire squatters?
Yeah, this thing is enormous. It's that large. They found these people living in it, and they said, "Hey, I don't think this is going to fly anymore. We got to get you out so we can revamp this thing."
Tangent. Do you remember Pee-wee's Big Adventure? We talked about this earlier.
I do.
Yeah, and where he visits that roadside attraction, mm-hmm. the gigantic dinosaurs.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
he actually climbed inside them, right?
Right. As a kid, I remember telling my parents that I was going to run away and live in one of those.
That's a brilliant plan.
I haven't done it yet, Mom.
Plus, you told them where you're going to go.
Yeah, I was a genius at that time. That was my whole MO, was the comic book way of explaining your crime.
Nice work.
That ox and that lumberjack look suspiciously familiar.
Yeah. Do you know where they are? I've got a photo of a huge Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox. Do you know where they are?
Where are they?
Crescent City, California, just off of Highway 101. There's an attraction called Trees of Mystery on Highway 101. Now, see, that's something that would draw your attention.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily you're there to see Paul and Babe.
You're not just regular trees.
Exactly. You're there for the Trees of Mystery, but you also get this kind of treat along the way. And these are big. Paul's 49 feet tall, and he has a 24-foot-long axe that he holds. And his boots are even 10 feet high. I don't know how big Babe is, but Babe the Blue Ox is huge. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so that's another example of, you know, you're drawn in by something else and you get this bonus.
And, you know, for some smaller towns, especially before a lot of highway exchanges and stuff were laid in, this was an excellent way to attract visitors, mm-hmm. you know, and pump up the local economy.
Exactly. And some of them, they're scams. Summer scams.
That's true.
And tourist traps in that, not like we talked about before, but hey, pay $20 to see I wish I could remember where this was. Someone could write in and tell me. See the world's largest groundhog, or gopher, I think it was, or prairie dog maybe. See the world's largest prairie dog.
Uh-huh.
And you go to this place, you drive miles off the road, you go to some little place that has, you know, a lunch stand and a souvenir shop and everything, you know, and a lot of stuff you can buy. You pay something like $20 to go see the world's largest prairie dog.
Uh-huh.
And you have to walk, you know, down this pathway, and it's covered up and everything. You get to it, and it's like this big papier-mâché prairie dog that's this, you know, two-story tall prairie dog.
You're thinking
you're going to see a live prairie dog.
Yeah.
You see this cartoonish-looking thing, and you know, you're upset about it, of course. Mm. But I saw a few stories about things like that that happened, and I'm kind of guessing that some of this alligator stuff in Florida might be the same way. And
sure,
I bet the Northeast there's some lobster attractions that are, you know, lobster-themed attractions that are the same way. I know that there's a lot of that going on. Some of these are legit. They've got the world's largest ever caught, you know, and it's mounted here on this wall or whatever. But I think some of them are a little bit, a little shady. Yeah.
Do you want to
call shenanigans?
You heard it here first. Shenanigans have been called.
Yeah, on some.
On some.
Yeah.
Shenanigans have been noticed. Right.
Exactly.
There we go.
They've been found along the way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I've got one we can close out on, a mystery.
Great.
Do you want to?
Yes, I would.
Okay. So first, obviously, we know that we're missing a lot of roadside attractions. If you feel like writing in and tell us your favorite, then that'd be fine, and we'd like to hear about it.
There are millions of them.
There are millions, so please be patient with us.
Yeah.
So as someone who lives in the South, I do want to give a quick shout out and hello to Rock City and the Lost Sea, which we pointed out earlier.
Yeah.
Love those. But there is, in our very own state of Georgia, Scott, a very mysterious roadside attraction called the Georgia Guide Stones.
Hmm. Okay.
Have you heard of this?
I've heard of them, but I don't know much about them.
Real quick. Once upon a time, a guy calling himself R.C. Christian showed up in, I believe, Elberton, Georgia in 1979. And it was pretty obvious that this was not his real name. And he had been paid by some people to commission this set of about three really big granite blocks with the same message written on them in several languages, English, Spanish, Latin, Hebrew, Swahili, I think, and a couple others.
Really?
And it was built so that, like some of the ancient structures, such as Stonehenge and stuff, it lined up with with solar movements, equinox and solstice and stuff. And this had these very strange things that were sort of kind of a New Age Ten Commandments, which is very controversial.
Yeah.
But they said I'm not going to list all of that. That's for a different kind of show. But the thing is, this is still up. Nobody knows who built it still. And it's free to see. It is on a private field. Let me see.
You're saying this was built in 1979.
Yes, sir.
It was that recent, relatively recent, 30 years ago, 31 years ago.
Right.
And everybody's just kind of tight-lipped about it? No one's talking about it?
Well, people are talking about it, but what can you say?
The mystery is who built it and who...
Who built it and
who
why?
Who wanted it built?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, Elbertson is also the granite capital of Georgia and, in some ways, of the world.
So that's why the site was selected.
Well, they had really good granite.
Yeah,
and
makes sense.
Yeah, and so these things are, altogether it weighs 119 tons. It's 19 feet and 3 inches high.
Whoa, that's big.
Yeah, and then it rests on a support stone that weighs like 22,000 pounds.
Wow, so this is a huge structure. This is really big.
Yeah, this is a huge structure.
Have you ever gone?
I have gone once, and at this point I need to give a... due deference to one of my best friends, a guy named Tim, who pretty much compulsively explores roadside attractions.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tim, finally, this one's for you. And I just wanted to close out on that mystery. If anybody has been to that site or knows anything about it, we'd like to hear about it.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, like we said, there's a million of these. You could pick anything that you've stopped at along the way.
Mm.
Just any attraction could be a roadside attraction that would have interest to somebody. So, just send along a list of your favorites.
Yeah.
There's a lot of mystery spots out there, a lot of haunted spots.
Yeah. That's a lot. Different.
Yeah, it's a different podcast as well. Car-related attractions, you can see the Bonnie and Clyde death car at some museums. You can see, just a lot of, just a million different things that are possibilities here.
And when you're on a road trip, part of it is really enjoying it. So, yes, Scott and I have both admitted that there are a couple of bad apples there. But don't let them spoil the bunch. I mean, if you see some signs that seem kind of interesting, it might just be worth it.
I think this summer I'm going to hit a couple of these. Some local ones, some of the ones that are in our region, maybe day road trips, things like that. That would be fun just to seek these out and see what they are. It may cost you a few dollars, but it'll be fun.
Yeah, so...
adventure, get in there.
Yes. Speaking of adventures, I think we have to go have one ourselves, so we're going to let you guys go. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Chris, thanks so much for writing in. If you guys have any suggestions, topics, or recommendations for roadside attractions, please send us an email at...
highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the new High Speed Stuff blog, now on the How Stuff Works homepage.